This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way. Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 302 for the week ending Saturday, February 13th, 2016. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend. I am Jeff Nielsen, also known as your captain.
I'm your captain.
And I'm feeling mighty sick listening to my voice. And here also joining us today from Conyers, Georgia, Miss Maria Johnson.
Hey there. I'm so happy to be here. I'm sitting here distracted by looking at a Snapchat from my son, who's a clown.
I don't do the Snapchat thing. Maybe, should I do that? Well, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yes,
also joining us from Montana, Malta to be exact, the good father, Corey Stika.
Good morning, everyone. It's a cold and snowy morning here.
Oh, finally seeing some winter, huh?
Well, we've been off and on. It actually got kind of nice. It was warm enough where the snow melted and then it snowed again.
Oh.
You get too much time without snow.
Oh, we had some of that, too.
Yeah, but probably not the same quantity.
Oh, whatever.
We had a little bit on our deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
and
like that.
Apparently, I don't know. It depends on what report that you look at. But some weather reports are saying that we might have a wintry ice event on Monday. Did you hear about that, Maria?
I did. And let me tell you what my profound disappointment is. I already have Monday off.
Oh, it's President's Day. Yeah.
So, yeah. So they're going to push all the snow days to Fridays at the high school where I teach the dual enrollment, which means I'm not going to get any snow days at all.
Oh.
I know. Wah, aww. Wah.
Yeah, well, that deserves a, yeah.
Terrible.
Ba-doom. So that's the same expression of disappointment that was coming from my oldest daughter, Alyssa, who is a school teacher at a local Catholic grade school. And she said, I have Monday off, darn it.
We commiserate on that issue.
I know. So, oh well. But you know what? I think we're not going to have an icing event. I think it's just going to be rain. But I am not a licensed meteorologist. Okay.
He doesn't even play one on TV.
I don't even attempt to. But anyway, so
you do just as good a job, though.
Probably about the same accuracy.
Nobody ever really shows them rolling the dice behind the scenes. Are there any meteorologists in our tiny little fan base?
I don't know, but we're really offending them deeply right now.
Yeah. You ever seen that video of the guy out of Phoenix where somebody screwed with their screen? So it showed temperature of 1630. Fahrenheit.
Oh,
and he's talking about how, like, if you're there, you better get out because things are going to start melting, and this area is just gone. So, instead of having 70s and 80s like it was normally, someone had started putting like 4-digit numbers for all the temperatures.
Yeah,
I don't know, computer system screwed up or somebody was messing with the guy. He rolled with it pretty good. He was pretty. It's pretty
you thought
funny.
105 degrees was hot? Just wait till 1630.
Yeah.
That's going to be very hot.
Oh, well, man. You could just say all the degrees in Kelvin, right?
Oh, yeah. What is 0 degrees Kelvin? I've already forgotten all that stuff.
73.
It's out minus
273 or something.
Minus 273 Celsius or something. Or is.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. This is not a science show. I'm not sure what it is, but it's not a science show. All right. Let's see. So how has your week been, Father Corey?
It's been all right. It's been good, it's definitely Lent.
It's definitely Lent.
It is.
And, of course, that means life gets busy for the priest, Ash Wednesday. And I made sure everybody had proper ashes, not the little, thumb smudge, but an actual cross. You know, that's a big accomplishment for a priest, is when they actually do good ashes, you know.
Oh, were you using the chart? Were you using the chart out there?
Yeah. I like that one.
You know, Did you see the guy with the template?
Yep.
What?
He's a perfectionist. Yeah.
No, I did not see that. Really?
A friend forwarded achievements, you know, like for games, they've got the different achievements to get different points. Well, for Lent, achievements for Lent. And one of them is you get a proper cross ashes on your forehead. So I made sure everybody got that achievement.
You know. So, okay. So that was a joke then. Somebody wasn't actually using a template.
No. It was a cartoon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's gullible in this batch today?
I'm not usually that gullible, but me. Are you supposed to do the cross, or does it have to look like the cross, or what are the guidelines?
The tradition is that it is a sign of the cross on the forehead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we do it. Actually, other places, they sprinkle ashes in the shape of a cross over your head, over mm-hmm. The crown of your head.
No.
But in the United States, it's traditional that we do it as a making a sign of the cross. Now, some people, they just, you know, they're more in a hurry. I've seen priests where it's like there's not really a sign of the cross. It's like I said, it looks like a little thumb smudge more than anything else.
Oh, I like the what's the Lion King little baboon guy? That smear across the forehead.
Yeah, people do it differently. It's not like you didn't get proper ashes if you don't actually have a recognizable sign of the cross on your forehead. It's just that's the kind of the tradition. And of course it goes with, you know, if it's supposed to be a sign of our entering into the penitential season, we should make it an actual sign, you know, something that's recognizable for what it is, a cross.
Okay, I have a couple things. Number one, I did not get ashes this year because I was unable to attend any Ash Wednesday services because of my flying schedule. But I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Father, that Ash Wednesday is not an obligatory thing. It's not a mass of obligation.
That's correct. It is not a holy day of obligation at all. It's one of the most well-attended masses of the year, but it's not a holy day of obligation.
Well, because you get a souvenir.
That's my second thing. This year, because I was out and about in mostly airports, because that's where I work, and it seems to me that I normally see a lot more people walking around with black smudges. Mm-hmm. And this year, I only saw like two or three total the whole darn day. And I was flying in and out of New York, and you know that, a lot of the New Yorkers, even if they're not Catholic, will go to Ash Wednesday to get their ashes. And I'm wondering if that was just a fluke, or is this just a sign that people just are going, forget it?
I don't know. I mean, you still see them. Now, I wonder, like, for example, here, just because of the way work schedules and everything works, I had Mass in the evening. Both my Ash Wednesday Masses were in the evening. So you wouldn't have seen any of the Catholics running around with the ashes until after 5:30. Our first Mass was. So, I mean, that was a possibility. Of course, you know, with airports too, unless they had, you know, like a quick half hour Ash Wednesday Mass there in the airport that someone could attend, it's very likely that people were in and out. You know, they didn't have a chance to actually attend one.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up being my case because on Wednesday I taught the first class of the day at 8 a.m. So I couldn't make an early Mass, and they usually have our parish started a 6:30 a.m. Mass because the teens had asked for it, and and the pastor at the time said, if I don't see teens at that Mass, we're canceling it. So it really started a culture of it being a teen activity, and now it's a full Mass. It's a full Mass that they do. So I couldn't go to it. John went to it, and I saw him later, but I ended up going to just a prayer service at 4.
Mm.
And so it was just Liturgy of the Word, and there was a deacon there who handed out the ashes that day. But so I didn't get mine until the evening. I didn't go anywhere. I went from church home.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better.
I know around here it's a big event. It's one of the few Masses that we really do fill up the church pretty well here. It's kind of funny how that works. Again, the one day that they don't have to be, they come.
Yeah. Reverse psychology.
Holy days of obligation. Call it a holy day of obligation. It'll change.
Yeah.
Right to Pope Francis. I think he's willing to do changes like that.
Hey, speaking of Pope Francis, we had some feedback from somebody that you might recognize. She was a longtime host on this wonderful Catholic weekend show, Angela Cialana. And she wrote in and said, "Hi, guys, I've got to hear your take on the fact that ... I just went to Google and I typed in, quote, Pope Francis movie star, and I got actual stories as results. What do you think of the Pope being in a movie? Can you imagine the stress these filmmakers must feel right now?" And then she ends, "Hugs all around, Angela." Thank you, Angela, for taking the time to send us in feedback. That was nice of you. And so what do you think? Is this like a real thing? Are they making a movie and he's actually going to be in it?
I've heard both sides. I've heard some people say that, yes, he is. And, you know, there's, matter of fact, I just did that again, and there's articles all over from the beginning of the month saying that. But then, of course, there's the obligatory denial from the Vatican. Oh, that never happened. That's really not going on. And then, of course, it ends up happening. So, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but sometimes the Vatican press office, it seems like their job is to deny even the existence of the sun, you know.
Yeah. Obfuscation is the name of the game.
Ooh, so, that's a good word.
You know, it's
obfuscation. It's word of the day. Sorry.
There you go. It's possible. Actually, it's kind of funny. It was, you know, all the articles said, "Oh, this is the first time the Pope has been in a feature film." That's not actually the case. There was a movie, a German movie of all things, during the reign of Pius the 12th. This was after World War II, where he actually appeared in. They filmed like a general audience, which looked very different than it does today. Like he came in on the chair, you know, carried by men in the whole works.
Yeah, we were just talking about that last time.
Yeah. You know, we did talk about that, you know, and so this actually, that was the first time that a Pope had actually been in a feature film, you know, but of course, I think this is the first time a U.S. made film would have a Pope.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible he's got like a 30-second cameo, you know.
So are you telling me that that wasn't John Paul II in Sister Act?
It wasn't?
What?
I don't know.
I'm so disappointed.
And are you telling me that she's not really a nun? What?
Yeah. Whoopi? A lounge singer. What's a lounge lizard?
That's a little more accurate for Whoopi Goldberg, but no.
Oh boy. Well, I didn't mean
that's pretty
to.
Pretty cool though. I don't
knock us off track there, but you said something about the Pope and stuff. So I thought, oh, that reminds me. I don't want to forget our feedback because it's so exciting when we get some. We did also receive some feedback, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he was kind of commiserating with Father Corian, I don't know what the right word is, but we were talking about the commemoration of the Reformation. We're not going to go into that right now because I don't want to take this thing down, but anyway, so thank you for, I just wanted to acknowledge that we did receive his feedback, and thank you for putting in your two cents as well, so... Yeah. Anyway, so let's steer this thing. Let's see.
Where are you steering?
off the tracks already. Steering it back to Lent because we didn't have a show last week, and that was primarily because I was not feeling very well. I was out in Southern California taking care of business, and I don't know. I just didn't get enough sleep or something, and so I decided not to do the show last week. And there were a couple others that couldn't make it either. So, as we just mentioned, Lent started on Ash Wednesday, and I thought that that would be something that we could talk a little bit about. And I saw this because Lynn put it in the show notes, and I think this is part of John Clem's tweets. He included a link to a complete guide to the rules for Lent, and this is on youcatholic.com. And it's an illustrated guide to Lenten fasting and abstinence. So I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that just to make sure everybody, you know, knows what all the rules are and why we do them, et cetera. And I have to admit also, I didn't go to Ash Wednesday, which I guess, you know, I'm okay. But on Friday morning, I enjoyed a wonderful bacon biscuit.
Oops.
Yeah. And then an hour later, I go, oh, I've already done it. Lent just started and I've already screwed up.
I could have had a V8 moment.
Yeah. And I thought, you idiot. Gosh, I mean, it's not that hard, Jeff. It's really not that hard. And so for the rest of the day, though, I'll have you know, I was good and I had something tofu-ish for lunch. And last night we
So you did your penance.
Yeah, exactly. I actually liked tofu, though. It was good. It was like a Chinese Asian thing, like a spicy tofu entree, whatever. It was good. But
you should have just had some lobster.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
that's about it.
No. And then last night, Linda's really good about it. She just fixed some, I think we had some beans and rice, you know, just something very simple and and nothing, you know, like, what do they call that? Blackened redfish or lobster cakes and that kind of thing.
That's, I always laugh, you know, if you're, when you've got Catholics who, oh yeah, you know, we're going to be, you know, penitential by giving up meat. So we're going to go to Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of defeats the purpose.
I know, but it's
don't
so
get me
tempting.
Wrong. I'm looking forward to the nice Columbus fish fries here next week. But.
I know that's it's
well, that's
like
probably
a line,
catfish
right?
or tilapia or something, right?
Yeah.
But it's still pretty darn good.
Yes, yeah, it is.
It is good.
Yes, it is.
And you know what? One of my favorite sandwiches. One of my favorite meals is tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh yes, definite
so
comfort food.
I don't even know
there.
How that's much of a penitential sacrifice there.
So
I do that on purpose.
So what do? We purposely try to eat stuff that we hate?
No.
Yeah, there you go. Brussels sprouts. No. No, and the purpose for giving up meat isn't for the actual penance itself. You know, it's a very simple sacrifice. You know, and sacrifice doesn't have to be, you know, flogging yourself with whips or something like that. You know, it doesn't have to be completely painful. It just has to be you're making a conscious effort to say, okay, this day I will not do my normal routine. You know, and especially here in the United States, the normal routine for the majority of people involves eating meat every day. You know, some form of meat, pork, beef, chicken, whatever. You know, and for one day a week, we just say, okay, you know what, I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to abstain from that for one day a week. It doesn't feel, again, if you like seafood or you like things like, you know, grilled cheese and tomato soup, it's not a penitential thing at all. It's not a difficult thing to do. You know, what's become my favorite Friday meal or lunch is they have a really good seafood salad. It's like artificial crab meat and a couple other things, you know, and at the deli over at the grocery store. And I like that on like a roll with some Swiss cheese. It's a really good sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not penitential. But again, it's me consciously saying, okay, I'm not going to have a bacon cheeseburger today.
And you know, and the funny thing is, and I so appreciate that you've clarified that, because it's not about suffering so much as it is about the discipline of abstaining from things.
Correct.
And the discipline of saying, you know what, if on Fridays I can't eat meat, then on Tuesdays I can not gossip, because I have this, you know, self-control, and it's about teaching us that discipline. But I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Well, we don't care. We just like hearing you talk. So just keep on going with something.
Lots of words. I truly don't know where I was going with
words,
that.
Words, weather. Wow. Is it cold?
Wow. Yeah. I can't even muster enough to do the right thing.
Yeah. So, well, okay. So we were talking about abstinence on Fridays and fasting on only two of the days in Lent, Ash Wednesday, which we've already had, and then Good Friday, right? And if you'll remind us, Father, the fasting rules, which are kind of like, well, it's not really fasting, it seems to be.
Yeah, it's not a difficult rule. Now, there's kind of the popular way it's expressed isn't really, you know, written down in stone, but this is kind of the common way it's done. So you are allowed one full meal, one regular sized, you know, whatever your normal meal is on a, you know, typical day, and then two smaller meals that don't equal that regular meal. You know, so, you know, think of it as, you know, if your regular meal is like a three course, you know, a typical, you know, entree, two sides type of meal, then maybe you just have something equivalent to the two sides, you know, one of the sides for the smaller meals. Now, frankly, that's not really that bad of a fast. I think most people can do that. That just means you have a very light breakfast. Maybe you have a, you know, your normal lunch, and then you have a light supper. You know, it's not a difficult fast. I usually take it that little extra and just have the one big meal, mm-hmm. the one main meal, which I did this year. I went and got a fish dinner, immediately at the restaurant, you know, the fast food place, but, you know, just had one meal. I didn't eat anything until after my masses were over. And not to brag, just to say that, you know, you don't have to follow the, you know, the one big meal, two little meal rule.
Right. In many ways, for me, it was like, well, this is kind of like pretty much the way I do everything every day. I don't normally have three big meals. I exactly. usually have, sometimes I don't even have a breakfast. And yeah. and when I do, it's just something, you know, very light, like a yeah. bagel or something, you know.
Bowl of cereal or yeah something simple. You know, and I think most people are like that. That's why it's really not a difficult fast. And frankly, I think an argument can be made that this is probably how we should be eating anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a light breakfast just to kind of start the day. You have your big meal at lunch, and then you have a light supper.
You know, for me and for people who work in an office setting that has a break room and such, those days for me are very telling about just how much snacking mm-hmm. goes on in a day. And how much of it is really mindless snacking.
Right.
Because that's the day that I passed by the dozen donuts that were sitting in the coffee room.
Yep.
You know, that's...
you got the bowl of M&M's sitting there and you grab a handful as you walk
right.
by.
Right. Yep. I usually have, you know, I usually have candy on my desk at work to get the students to come in to see me. You know, I'll tell them mm-hmm. at the beginning of the week, oh, I bought some Snickers for anybody who wants to come for office hours.
And that works.
It does. It gets them in to see me.
So, yeah, it's that, and that's the big thing is no snacks. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not, you know, don't grab the bag of chips. Don't grab the donut at, you know, 10 o'clock after you've already had breakfast. Don't, you know, and that is difficult. If you've gotten in a habit of having junk food around, mm-hmm. Giving that up can be actually be a little bit painful. It's like, oh, there's some chips. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm not supposed to have that today.
You know. So I remember what I wanted to say earlier, that this is not an opportunity to diet. This is actually a spiritual exercise.
I actually said that in the homily, that if you don't have the spiritual backing behind it, it's just dieting. You know, you know, and one challenge is as you're doing some of this, like say fasting or abstinence, if it causes you to make a change in your life, let's say you do skip one of the meals. You just have like one big meal and one little, call it a snack, but one little small meal to kind of tide you over. Take the time you would spend at one of those meals in prayer. Mm-hmm. Take the money you would have spent at one of those meals and give it to like Catholic Relief Service through their Rice Bowl project. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. I always try to pick up a spiritual practice along with whatever it is that I'm giving mm-hmm. up. So,
yeah. Well, that's one thing I love about Lent is there are so many resources where you can do that, where you can kind of try to develop a spiritual mindset, mm-hmm. a little bit more of one. And, you know, what does they say? It takes a month to develop a habit, something like that. And, you know, Lent is a little longer than a month. So you've got time where if you get in the habit of doing spiritual reading every day, that if you don't just completely drop it at Easter, you might make that a regular lifetime habit. You know, if you get a habit of praying every day a little bit and you keep that up, it can become a regular lifetime habit.
Yeah, let me share with you one of the things that I'm doing. It's coming in an email for me, and it's the seven qualities of mercy that the Daughters of St. Paul are putting out in email.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so this isn't my pick of the week, but it's a wonderful retreat. And yesterday's I especially liked, so I saved it on my phone, which is why I have it. And it's the Merciful Eyes of Mary, and it's just it's just a piece kind of like what you see in Magnificat or something like that. Just a beautiful reflection and then a prayer. Lord, let me receive your mercy. Let me show your mercy to others. And that's the daily prayer. And it's that simple. Pops in my email in the morning. I have a little moment of prayer that is not a typical part of my morning routine. And it's easy because it's coming in my email. So I'm not going to forget to do it.
I usually try to do something every year, and I'm not sure if I've made it through any of these years, but because it's quite a task. But it's called the Church Fathers Lenten Reading Plan. I probably talked about it last year, and it's always so cool for me, especially being a convert to Catholicism, to read the Church Fathers. And it's available by going to a website, and there's also a PDF that you can download. And you start off with the Didache for the first day of reading, and then the second day of reading, the Epistle to how do you pronounce his name?
Diogenes.
Thank you.
I can't even pronounce it.
Yeah. Well, that's
Dial.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the list here too.
Mr. D.
Dial.
Yeah, Dio. And the Epistle of Polycarp to the Philippians, and then St. Ignatius of Antioch, all his letters, Justin Martyr, also good ones. So anyway, if you want to kind of get really, really deep in the early, centuries of the Catholic, or the first century of the Catholic Church and on, check out the, I'll put that as one of my picks of the week, and that'll be in the show notes if you want to check that out. It's always a interesting read.
Excellent.
So what did you guys give up? Anything or take on or both? Or do you want to talk about that?
This is the point where I admit that I still haven't quite settled on that yet.
You know what? It's really, didn't it start fast this year? I mean, I'm thinking, really? What? Ash Wednesday? Oh, wow.
It really feels like it did, because it was like, okay, 1 week we're just finishing up Christmas stuff, and now all of a sudden, oh hey, we got to start thinking about Lent. What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You guys think about what you want to say regarding that, and I'll do this, because it's about that time, about halfway through our show here, to mention that we appreciate all of you out there who support us both in prayer, participation, and also financially. And if you'd like to be amongst those who contribute financially to the StarQuest Production Network, you can do so as well by heading over to sqpn.com/donate. Not donut, donate. And donut, that's another page where we put all the things that we're giving up for Lent. You can become a friend of SQPN by giving $10 a month or more. If you don't have $10 a month to give, that's okay. You're still our friend. And if you just have a one-time donation, you can do that as well. Again, check out sqpn.com/donate. Also, if you are like me and you can't stay away from amazon.com and all those great deals, and I'm a Prime member, and it's just so easy to look at something and go, shipping's free, 2 days or less. I'll buy it there, and then I'll buy this, and I'll buy that. And I'm going crazy. Anyway, if you're one of those people, please remember.
Come on down.
Join our special little 12-step group. Make sure that you click on the link, the affiliate link to the StarQuest Production Network by heading over again to sqpn.com. And I think it's /Amazon. Well, you'll see it all over the place on the website. And you can click on the appropriate link for your region, whether you're in the U.S. or the U.K. or Germany. And I forget all the different countries we have there. And then once you do your shopping on Amazon.com, we get a little teeny bit of the purchase that you paid to Amazon. So, and it's not that you're paying any more. It's just Amazon's not getting as much as they would have if you had not clicked on that link. And it all gets added together. And every month, the StarQuest Production Network receives a little bit of money from Amazon, and it really helps. So, again, it's easy, doesn't cost you anything more, and it really helps us out. So, again, don't forget the affiliate link for Amazon on SQPN.com. And finally, if you want to start your own blog, your own podcast, your own whatever, and you need some web hosting, we could highly recommend Bluehost. Bluehost.com. You can go to SQPN.com/Bluehost, and you'll see the link there. Again, the affiliate link. And when you sign up, you'll be really happy you did, and you'll be helping out the StarQuest Production Network and our efforts in the new evangelization. So thank you again. And that was Punxsutawney Phil, Alan Marchand, and band. Okay, so we have that.
I love that music.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Oh, I should have just waited. I could have stretched it just a little bit longer, and then it could have ended perfectly. Oh, well.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
We're out of practice.
Yeah, out of practice. So, speaking of practice, what are you practicing for your Lenten sacrifice / spiritual? You guys want to talk about that or not?
I know Father said
he hasn't decided yet. Go ahead.
I picked up that additional prayer that I have.
Oh, I guess we've already talked about it then.
Yeah, I gave up something.
Yeah. Well, in years past, many of you know that I always try to give up something that's pretty much not accomplishable. Is that a word? I say, well, I'm going to give up alcohol. Hey, I can give up alcohol for 40 something days. And then about a week or two into it, I don't make it. And so this year I really want to attain my sacrifice goal. And so this time I limited it to beer, but you know that beer is something very special, fond to my heart. And I've decided beer, not wine and anything else, but I'm going to really try to severely cut down on that as well. But at least I have like a little safety valve. So if I feel like I need to have a glass of wine or something like that, I'm not breaking my Lenten sacrifice. And
beer
and pizza. And so that was the name of one of my recent episodes on my Airline Pilot Guy show. So I thought, hey, why not just throw pizza in there as well? Not that like I have pizza every day or anything, but so beer and pizza is what I'm giving up for Lent. And again, I'm trying to take on some more spiritual things, prayer, and also this Lenten Church Fathers reading plan. And we'll see what goes.
Yeah, no, I'll admit it. I have not been good at doing the picking something to give up or something to do for Lent. And, you know, and I know the importance of it, but it's always one of those things. I'm so busy as a priest just trying to get things lined up for Lent that I don't think about it. One thing I do encourage people that even if you don't do that, you know, do a devotion during Lent. For example, here on Fridays, we do the Stations of the Cross. You know, and we did our first one here yesterday, last night, and that's always a wonderful devotion to do during Lent.
I wish that I had remembered that yesterday, because I was reading through some of this stuff this morning, and I thought, oh, that's right. I love the Stations of the Cross. Mm-hmm. That's such a beautiful devotion, and so I hope that I'll probably set up something in my phone to remind me that next Friday it would be a nice thing for me to attend a station. Now, you don't have to actually go on Fridays. You can do it on your own at any church, right? You know, they have them all across the walls. And
exactly. I jokingly call it Catholic calisthenics. So
listen, guys, you know that I just use sometimes, like yesterday, I couldn't go to the church. I was caught up in a lot of things that kind of had me in a waiting room. And I did the Stations of the Cross on my phone using Laudate. I mean, it's not the same thing, but in terms of meditation.
Yeah. For better me. Than nothing.
Better than nothing.
Yeah. Hey, this might be a good time to bring up something that people might be wondering about. And you'll remember that back about this time last month, we had an organizational meeting of the StarQuest Production Network in Boston. Mm-hmm. And we met up with Father Roderick and Linda, the CFO, and myself. And we met up with Dom. Oh, Inge as well came over from the Netherlands. And we met up with Dom in Boston. And we were there to kind of, it was a, kind of an organizational strategic planning kind of a thing. And also to kind of, you know, show Dom, you know, what we've done and what we're planning in the future and that kind of thing. Anyway, it was just a kind of a nuts and bolts kind of meeting. Mm-hmm. But there we started discussing a little bit about our future and specifically regarding this show, Catholic Weekend. And so in the coming weeks, Catholic Weekend will be changing to a new, more interactive format with a new name. And a new way for you, the audience, to participate and interact with each show. And so we're going to take advantage of new technologies. And one of those new technologies is a thing that's very much like what we're doing right now live. If you're listening to the audio feedback, just a reminder that we do use Google Hangouts for our live recording. And there is an interactive group of people in the chat room. And it's kind of fun. We enjoy doing this. It's nice seeing each other. We've been taking a look at this new technology called Blab, which, as I said, very much like Google Hangouts, but it's actually even more interactive. And I've been using it for my own personal show, the Airline Pilot Guy show, now for several months. And my community, the APG community, loves the interactivity of Blab. So we're going to start using that for this Catholic Weekend show or whatever the new name of it will be in the future. And in fact, next week we plan on giving that a shot. We're, instead of using the Google Hangout, we're going to use Blab. And then you can kind of get a chance to see what it is like to use that new interactive audio video thing. I've been very, as I said, very pleased with the way that Blab works, and my community is even more pleased with it. We're going to check it out here at SQPN.
Blabbity blab. Will it eliminate this?
Oh, no.
No, of course not.
No.
We could never eliminate that. It's kind of like, now there are some, you know, limitations to it as well. You know, with Google Hangouts, you can have as many as, I guess, a total of 10. One, whoever starts the Hangout, and then a 9 guests. Now, if you've ever been on a panel on a Hangout with that many people, it's almost impossible because everybody's talking over each other, and it's just, yeah, as Father Corey just said, it's a mess.
It's a train wreck.
Yeah. Let's all three of us do it at the same time. One,
ready?
2, 3. Aww. Sounds so nice.
So much fun.
So anyway, it's limited to four, you know, participants at a time, unless you happen to have somebody with you, and then, you know, you can add more, but only
cheater.
But it's like kind of like the Brady Bunch, you know, it's like four squares and, you know, it's a story. Anyway,
that sounds like a lot of fun. We'll have to figure out in which direction to look.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's like everybody sees it in a different way. It's not arranged the same way in everybody else's screen, so it's unfortunate.
You can do this guy up here, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I can't go like this and stick out at you to the left.
Yeah, but if you do that, you might be like sticking your tongue out to like an empty space or something over there. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. Anyway, so I just wanted to reassure you that you'll, the audience, continue to see your favorite SQPN personalities and that you already enjoy or not. And
or not.
Yeah. Then.
Did you really say that?
Yeah. So, as I said, we're going to try the Blab technology next time. And I think, you know, again, we're still thinking about the name, but we're thinking it's going to be something like Let's Talk. And each episode would be like Let's Talk Lent. Let's Talk Star Wars. Let's Talk Bobby Socks. No. Oh, wow. That sounds like an exciting one for for Miss
Bobby Socks.
I don't know. I don't know why that just popped into my head, but it did, which is very disturbing, actually. So anyway,
it really is.
So that's the deal. So again, we're kind of transitioning away from this this format that you've been used to, and doing something a little bit different. And I think it's going to also lend more interactivity, not only for the chat room and everything else, but also the ability to bring you on if you want to say something. We'll have a way.
Well, and that's been a part of what SQPN has done since its inception, using the new technology and using the new things. So
right.
We've been doing this for now. How long in this?
Only since September of 2009. Actually, we started off, we weren't using Google Hangouts because...
Yeah, but we adopted the Google Hangouts and we moved into this. It's time to keep growing.
Yeah.
And we've got some recommendations in the chat room. Speaking of interactivity, Anonymous says the name should just be Choo Choo. And then Cheryl says off the rails.
That's true. Well, you know, we're still coming up with names, so keep throwing out those suggestions.
I just think that with Blab we'll be able to actually talk to people who can call in, right? Can they call in?
And one nice thing too is, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but the chat is still available on the Blab.
Yes, it's and the nice thing is, if you're one of those people who likes to listen to the live show with their mobile device, but one of the limitations of what we're doing right now, the Google Hangouts, is that you can either look at the video or you can look at the chat, but you can't do both at the same time. Well, Blab has a really nice interface for mobile devices, tablets, and smartphones, where you can see everything simultaneously. So that's one of the things that people really like about Blab and my personal show. So, so we're gonna see how that works for Catholic Weekend or whatever it is we're gonna call it. And again, you know, this show was set up for you, the community. This is our community show, and so it's not really one of those things where we're trying to evangelize the masses out there with the show. And in many ways we do, but that's not really the intention of the show. The intention is to kind of communicate with our community about what's going on at SQPN. And so it's going to continue to work out that way. It's just going to be a little bit different way to do it. So stay tuned for that. So
woohoo.
That was just something I wanted to say on today's show. And then next week, we'll try out the Blab and see how that works out. Maybe somebody out there participating in the live show, and they're brave enough to do so, can click on one of the open seats and join us, and we can see you and hear you.
That'll be lots of fun.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well done, sir.
Well, thank you. Any particular topic you guys want to tackle, or do you want to go into our picks of the week?
Well, one thing I want to talk about, I don't know if you noticed the meeting between the Russian patriarch and Pope Francis. I think that was, you know, that was just yesterday, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised because I knew it was coming, but it was kind of announced short notice. Oh, by the way, we're doing this next week. You know, and which is kind of surprising because usually events like this, they're advertised, you know, months in advance. And
obfuscation.
There's all kinds of run-up to, yep, exactly.
Well, of all the places to do it, really, in Havana?
Exactly. Well, it was, you know, I think in the, when you read the declaration between the two of them, it really made sense. It was, you know, that, of course, for many years, Havana was all but ruled by the Soviet Union through Castro. And it's not the old country, though. It's not the old world. You know, so there really is, as they put it, the mixing of the East and the West. You know, so I think that actually kind of made sense from that aspect, the symbolic aspect of it. But it was you read the declaration. It's a beautiful thing, to be honest. I know people are starting to rip it apart because of some language choices and things. And, you know, don't have to go into that. But just the fact that, first of all, these two major figures in a split that has lasted for 1,000 years have met is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing.
That is. And I hope that some fruit comes from it.
Yes, absolutely. It's I encourage people to read the declaration. It's not lengthy. It takes about 5 minutes to read, but it's a joint declaration, basically calling us, first of all, to seek unity, and then to seek ways that we can live the gospel together. You know, the joint calls that we have as Christians to serve the gospel and to proclaim the gospel, to serve Christ.
Now, honestly, I have not read the declaration myself and don't know a lot about this meeting. But when we're talking about meeting with the Russian patriarch, we're talking about basically the leader of, or the unofficial leader of the Orthodox?
The Russian Orthodox.
The Russian Orthodox Church.
You know, there's multiple Orthodox churches. I can't remember exactly how many there are. And they're usually within a region. So like they're usually regional churches. So, you know, the Russian Orthodox Church is mostly just within Russia, though it extends to other parts as well. You know, there's a Greek Orthodox Church, there's, you know, Antioch Orthodox Church, and so on. There's all these different, like I said, I don't remember how many there are. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the patriarchs. Probably not the most important, admittedly, because the one who's considered to be the official head of Orthodoxy is the Greek Orthodox out of Constantinople / Istanbul.
Mm-hmm. Not Constantinople.
It was. It's not anymore. There's a song about that.
That's what I was.
Why don't you sing it a little bit?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Constantinople. Okay.
So I mean, it's a start though. It's if we're gonna have unity, and I would love to see it within my lifetime with Orthodoxy. Mm-hmm. This is how it's gonna start.
So
and everything sounds like it was very
cordial,
mm-hmm. very positive. I mean, just the reports, and again, reading the actual joint declaration, very much looking at the unity that we need to find. So I think that's a good thing.
Well, you know, as Jesus prayed to God the Father, you know, that we all be one, was, you know, the prayer or one of the prayers or pleas to his Father. And that's what we should be working toward. And when you take the whole Catholic pizza pie, mm-hmm. and you split it into slices, about half of that pie is the Western or the Catholic Church, right? The
Roman Catholic
Church, and also the other 21, 22 rites that are also in union with the Pope.
Correct.
So that's about half. And then we have another quarter, which is the Orthodox Church. And then the remaining 15%, I mean, 25% or so, or however many slices that would be in the pizza pie, are the are Christian brothers and sisters who are not Catholic or Orthodox. So when you think about the impact of uniting with mm-hmm. the Orthodox Church, that would be 75% of the Christians on this earth.
Right. Well, you know, and I honestly think that if it's, you know, between uniting with the Orthodox and uniting with the Protestants, the Orthodox, we have more in common. Now, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of hurt that needs to be overcome. There isn't a lot of theological challenges that need to be overcome, but we're the closest. We still have both Orthodox and Catholic still have apostolic succession. We still have valid sacraments. Mm-hmm. We still recognize, you know, this dual form of church. This is how, you know, live, you know, how the church is called to be. Mm-hmm. We just disagree on particulars.
Right.
In many
How's it pronounced?
Filioque.
Filioque.
And with the Son. That's what it means. So for those who don't know, the Filioque clause is, we say it, those of us who are Roman Catholic, we say it in our Nicene Creed, you know, that we say the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. That was added not at the Council of Nicaea, which is where the creed came from, but later. And the Orthodox disagree with that statement. They say that the Holy Spirit proceeds only from the Father. You know, so that's, to be honest, it's kind of a tempest in it. That one's a tempest in the teapot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. One side says it's a major issue. The other says it's not.
I think, yeah, so, it's more is made of it than probably is necessary.
I don't know, but words have meaning and they mean things.
But I think, you know what? I think there are actually other bigger things that separate the Orthodox and the Catholic Church that.
Well, it's a theological disagreement that doesn't necessarily need to be a cause of the split.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I say it's a tempest in the teapot. Yes, I agree. Words have meaning. And I think it's very important that we do hash this out. But it doesn't have to be something that keeps the Orthodox from being in union with the Catholics and vice versa.
Right. Well, very good. We'll have a link to an article regarding the meeting with the Russian Patriarch in the show notes. And just quickly, before we go to our picks of the week, I just wanted to mention something that our good friends and longtime SQPN community members and several CNMC participants in the past, Lisa and Shelley, they did a video about Lent. And let's listen to just a little bit of it, the first part of it here.
Are we recording now?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Okay, hi, guys. My name's Shelley. This is my sister, Lisa. You might know us from Of Sound Mind and Spirit, when we do right. And we thought it'd be fun to talk to you. This is my first time to do this, like, with a video, so I'm very self-conscious. And okay. I don't want
to... You know, don't, like, oh, look at my hair. No,
don't do any of that. Okay. Am I supposed to look at you?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. Get that profile.
That's my favorite part.
So, I mean, we love Lisa and Shelley, and if you have not met them or read any of their work or seen their video, you should, and then you'll love them too. So I just wanted to mention that, and we'll put a link to soundmindandspirit.com and their Lenten video. And just wanted to kind of do a shout out to them for doing that. Very, very cute and engaging. So, all right. That means it's time for this. Okay. Who is going to be first?
Well, I can go.
Okay.
I can go first. I'm going to go complete total geek out on this one.
Yay.
This is something I've used for quite a few years, or a couple of years at least. And it's only Android. And, you know, it's on the smartphone, but it's only Android because the nature of Android itself. I don't know how many people realize this, but, you know, the Android, you go buy an Android phone, and it's a open source operating system. Anyone can actually go download the source code for Android. Now, of course, you got to know how to handle that to actually do anything with it. You know, most people who use an Android phone are like, source code? What is that? That's the actual computer language that makes the phone do what it's supposed to do. Well, because it's open source, there is what's called a modding community where they have taken this source, recompiled it for all these various phones. So you're not stuck with what the manufacturer gives you. Because when you go buy an Android phone, you have, like, for example, I have an LG phone. So it came with LG's version of Android, which usually has a lot of junk added to it, which slows down the phone. But you can open up your phone in iOS, they call it jailbreaking. In Android, they call it rooting. You get the root account to the phone, and then you can put whatever mod you want on it. So I use this Cyanogen mod, which it takes Android back down to its basics, back to what Google says Android should look like. And then they add a little bit to it. They add a couple of features, you know, that fit with their platform. But it's nowhere near as bad as what some of these manufacturers do. Because some of these, they load them up so bad, it's like, am I actually getting a new phone, or is this just an old phone with a new skin on it? You know, what the manufacturer puts on it, you know, this is a 2-year-old phone and it still runs as fast as anything made out there now, because it doesn't have to deal with all the extra cruft that is put on there. So it's kind of fun. It's fun to play with. Of course, I'm a geek on the kind, you know, like I installed Linux when Linux was still like, what is that? You know? So I kind of hack around and stuff, but it's kind of neat too that, you know, for example, with this phone, because it is 2 years old, LG is not putting out any updates for it anymore. I can't get the latest version of Android on this anymore. But I do have the latest version on Android through Cyanogen. Matter of fact, my phone actually got updated to version 6.01, the most recent version, before my Nexus tablet, which is Nexus is the Google, this is what Android should look like. You would think the Google version would get it first, but my phone did.
Wow.
You know, so
connections, you know, it's not like, man, you got the like, connections.
Yeah. So it's not like iOS. You know, that's one thing Apple is very good at. You know, they go to Verizon and these other manufacturers and say, if you want our phone, you do it our way. And of course, they have the clout to say, you do it our way or you don't get our phone on your network. And of course, even like Verizon, the biggest cell provider in the United States, has to say, we want your phone because otherwise we will lose that money. You know, Android doesn't have that because each manufacturer does things differently. And it's not like LG or Samsung can come to Verizon and say, well, if you don't do that, you can get our phones. Verizon just kind of says, well, we got other Android phones. So they have to control, they control the updates much more severely there.
Yeah, I guess it's a two-edged sword. There are so many great things about having the ability, the flexibility to do whatever the heck you want to do with your phone. But on the other hand, the strict system that iOS uses, it has a lot of benefits as well. So
yeah, and it's I mean, it very much, like I said, this is going geek. You know, you gotta you gotta be a geek. You gotta be the kind who wants to tinker. You know, and that being said, I think most people, when they get an Android phone, they just want it to work and it will. And they don't care what version of Android they're on. They don't care what additions have been put on by Samsung or LG or anybody like that. They just want it to work. And it does. It's just for those of us who are a little more tinkery, shall we say, we like to tinker with stuff like this. It's a lot of fun.
So which version do you have on there? MoonPie?
Yeah, MoonPie, Marshmallow.
Marshmallow.
They should have used that one. Well, yeah. They have KitKat. One
KitKat? Version was KitKat. I'm thinking MoonPie.
So oh, now I have a craving for MoonPies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, MoonPies have marshmallows, so that works, right?
That's right, and more. All right, very cool and geeky, which I love. So thank you, Father, for that. Maria,
yes, how about sir. You? I have a pick of the week that isn't a book.
What? What is it?
Well, actually, I'm appealing to the community for prayer for a young man named Super Jules, who is battling childhood cancer, and that's and he's in hospice now, and it's not looking good.
Oh no.
Yeah, but in addition to that, so I'm not a fan of these shticks and these schemes to have people do things for charities, but my son is participating in St. Baldrick's Foundation, which is a research foundation for childhood cancer, and he'll be shaving his head and probably his beard on March 10th, yeah, and so he's looking... He's looking for some donations to support his cause for the shaving of the head and all of those things. So I'm going to put a link up for that if anyone is inclined to want to donate. But really, what we're asking for is prayers for this beautiful family.
Okay.
That's my pick of the week. So check out St. Baldrick's. I can't wait to see this kid go noggin because he's already got a few donations in. So he cleared what he said he was going to do.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Maria, and good luck with the shaved head and beard. Not you.
It's on my head.
No. But I think that you should do it just to, you know, to help support your son.
No. I'm just wondering how many dates he's going to be able to get after that.
My pick of the week is a little geeky. It deals with technology, and it is an app on my phone, and I'm going to press on it right here and see what happens. And it's called Lent Sanity.
Yeah.
And it's a way for you to be reminded of, you know, when it's time to fast and when there's an obligation, a massive or a holy day of obligation, etc. And anyway, so I'm not sure if it's available for just the iOS platform, or no, if it's
on Android as well? Yes.
Okay.
If only you had that on Friday morning before you had.
Yeah. See, I didn't have it until this morning. So, the next Friday morning, I won't be hopefully eating bacon. So
just have a cheese and eggs biscuit instead of a bacon, egg, and cheese.
That's right. So that's my pick of the week, Lent Sanity. And anything else before we shut down this episode of Catholic Weekend? Okay. Again, a reminder, if you want to listen to Father Corey's awesome homilies, and I really mean that, head over to frcorey.org. And how else can we find and follow you on the interwebs, sir?
Well, you can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all that kind of fun stuff at FR Corey Sticha, last name spelled S-T-I-C-H-A. And not just can you find my awesome homilies on my website, you can also find my mediocre and not so good ones too.
Are they in a special page, or are they all just mixed in with all of them?
Yeah, they're all mixed in. It's potluck, you know. You might get a good one, you might get a bad one. You never know.
Life's like a box of chocolates, right? No, they're all good, I think. So check it out. And so thank you, Father Maria Johnson.
Yes. You can find my blog, Mariam Johnson, MariaMJohnson.com. Follow me on Bago. And this week I've got a little feature at Alitea.org. So I'm talking about a cross that I found on the ground and picked up. And I'm carrying around this cross for Lent now.
So will you give Mike a link to that so that
I
we can all
will.
Go directly to your writing on that? You're all over the place lately. Are you? You're speaking and you're writing and you're. Oh man.
Oh, you know what? Hey, Atlanta peeps, come and see me at Nancy G's Cafe up by you on Friday, February 26th. I'll be doing a theology on tap.
Oh, interesting. Where is Nancy G's Cafe?
Somewhere in Sandy Springs.
Oh, okay. Remind me. Will that be, will Lent Sanity send me a reminder for that?
I can send you an email.
Okay. Why don't you do that? I don't know if I'm going to be in town or not, but if I am, I'll head by. Sounds sure. like fun. Although I won't be able to drink any beer.
They'll have wine, I'm sure.
Okay. And I am the Airline Pilot Guy, and you can find me at airlinepilotguy.com and all the social things except Snapchat, which I think that Maria is going to have to tell me about. Twitter and Facebook and all that jazz, Airline Pilot Guy, all one word. Oh, I have a new app.
Oh, yes.
Did I mention that before?
You mentioned it, and okay. I asked you why it wasn't your pick of the week. So
yeah,
push it.
Well, okay, it's but now it's official. Before I had just kind of like the developer's version of it, and it's been on Android actually. For it's a lot easier to get an app on Android than it is on the Apple, system, and the iOS version was just released. Was it yesterday or day before yesterday? And it also already has just thousands of downloads on it. And so if you want to, if you follow the show, you can download the Airline Pilot Guy app. And it's a way I can send push messages and all kinds of fun stuff with that. So check it out. And
how fun is that?
It's a lot of fun. That's how much.
It's already got a 4.6 star rating on Android Market on Excellent. Google Play, so that's very good.
Really? Okay. Excellent. Thank you. And again, just a reminder, we're changing things again here at Catholic Weekend and SQPN, and look forward to checking out and trying out the Blab interface next week. So make sure that you're here as well. And until next time, we hope that you have a great weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.